First of all, there's just a couple of announcements I want to make. As you know, in your bulletin, there's going to be a baby shower next Saturday, so please take note of that. A great time to celebrate babies and the family and everything that comes with the arrival of a child, so please take advantage of that. And next week, we are going to have a guest preacher, a guest speaker. His name is Jim Wislin. He is the director of the suicide prevention here in town. He is an amazing Christian man. He actually lost a son to suicide. God has given him that fire, that passion to be a part of what God can do to help a person, especially us, when we are hearing about or trying to understand what suicide is, as well as figure out the signals, those signs that we can respond to if we ever see them and what to do with those resources. So again, you're going to really enjoy Jim. I think some of you do know Jim. I have been getting to know him through the last 5-6 months, and he's been a good friend. So today is about Pentecost Sunday. Before I get there, I want you to know I had a great time with Cynthia. It was so good to have her up here. We had two dear friends, Kent and Kathy, and we just spent the whole week together, and it's just a blast. We had some of the best weather you could ever have for Alaska. You know what Denali's like in the summertime with the rain. We got to see Denali beautifully with hardly any clouds. There's times there's no clouds. Then we had a chance to go out of Seward, and we saw something that even the crew said was very, very unique. We saw literally 3 or 4 pods of orcas right in a harbor. And we stood there for 30 minutes just watching them. And one of them came up to the boat. Those things are huge. But God blessed us with opportunity to get to know Alaska, to show off Alaska, as well as getting to know each other. So that was something very special. But I had a chance, my wife and I had a chance to see a movie. Top Gun Maverick. Who has had a chance to see Top Gun Maverick? No one. And all right, we got Jen. All right, isn't it a great movie? It's a great movie, and you know, it's about flying F-18s, okay? And I love flying. I love the first Top Gun, and I always thought to myself, you know, how are they going to get better, a better Top Gun 2? You know, it's just sometimes, you know, it doesn't work well when you try to have a sequel to a movie. Well, this was amazing. The flying, I felt like I was right in that seat going up and around. They did a great job, and it's definitely about fighting and flying and fighting bad guys, but there's also an underlining message. The theme that was right there, it was very clear, and I hope people didn't miss it. It was a message of redemption and reconciliation. And it seems like all our stories are filled with redemption and reconciliation. And today, as you know, we finish up how to explain the gospel of Jesus Christ to non-believers. And last week, you all got a card. I hope, who has not received one of these? We're going to go ahead and make sure you get one of these. But it's a bookmark. And we've been looking at how do we explain to a non-believer the gospel of Jesus Christ, something that we live and breathe every day. And so we have this very simple, you know, it's just a very simple outline. We start with the Trinity, but as you know, last week, what we did is it all ended at the time where suddenly the baptism of the Holy Spirit was given to us, and God started a family, started a church. And we realized we saw some of the true marks of the church, and that is God's gift to us. He brings us together, puts us together, and we're a family, and we continue to grow. And we could see that that was the starting point of how the church was spread throughout the world. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. But all of it has to do with this major theme, redemption and reconciliation. God redeemed his people, his broken, sinful people, back to him, and we were reconciled through the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that story is a part of our lives. It is something that God wants us to continue to allow ourselves to be a part of other people's lives and giving them the chance to be redeemed and reconciled through Jesus Christ. So we have this great bookmark. We're going to talk about it maybe in a little bit. But there are four principal characters in this story. So let's go ahead and talk about each one of those characters. The first one is the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is a physical representation of God when he wants to give a very clear, important message to somebody. Very clear. So anytime you see the angel of the Lord coming into the scene, there is a super big reason why. Now, a lot of scholars speculate who the angel of the Lord is, but all we're going to do today is we're going to look at this and we're going to see this and recognize it as an angel, in which God felt like this moment was so important that he brought an angel of the Lord to Philip. And Philip, here we go, Philip is an apostle. We know he's an apostle, but you got to realize before he was an apostle, he was nothing. He was just a, well, he was something. He was a blue-collar worker, a hard worker, blue-collar worker. His value to the Roman Empire was very little aside from the commerce he might make. To the Jewish religious leaders, he had very little value. He was just a Jewish person who was trying to live in this world. And also, he was a Jewish person who was struggling with his faith because, you remember, trying to keep the law, trying to be good, you know, is a frustrating thing for all of us. Because we feel like this is what we need to do. We need to be good. It's something that's tied in our hearts. It's a part of our conscience. And it's frustrating because it's supposed to make us feel righteous. It's supposed to get us close to God. But what was happening was there was a distance. And we see this very clearly. That's why Jesus Christ came into the world, to bring us back to Jesus. So he is struggling with his faith, okay, and trying to keep the laws. He has very little significance. Suddenly, Jesus chooses him to be one of the apostles. Now he's an apostle. He has some significant roles in the scripture, but now he is filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, that what is so beautiful about filling the Holy Spirit, if you recognize right after the filling of the Holy Spirit, one of the apostles, Peter, stood up and started to preach. Now, this is significant because Peter was a coward. As you know that, he was a coward. He didn't have any type of strength or any type of confidence to stand before the people and really talk about Jesus Christ. Being filled with the Holy Spirit empowers us to be able to stand and share the good news of Jesus Christ. It gives us that prompting, that conviction, and the empowering that we need to be able to sit down and have confidence to share the wonderful story of Jesus Christ. Then we have the Ethiopian eunuch, which is a strange thing for us. It's a concept that, you know, we kind of maybe don't have a good thought to it or a good idea of it. First of all, Ethiopian was a Western African nation. It was south of Egypt and Jerusalem. Jerusalem. It was south, and it is a nation that obviously is very different than the Jewish people, very different than the Roman government. So this Ethiopian eunuch is actually a eunuch, which is a word that we never use. If we do, it's very, very rare. And basically, he was put in a position to take care of Candace, who was a queen, become a treasurer, but also the community wanted to protect Candace from male intrusion. So what they do with people that guard women, they do something to them physically so that they can't have opportunities with women. So he is completely single. So now he's put it in a very unique place. He's Ethiopian. He is a person who is a very important court official because he's in charge of the treasure. I know that was difficult for me to explain. How to explain a eunuch, okay, without offending people. You know, it's hard. So I hope you get the picture. So here is, and charge of a treasure. So this is a unique person. He was given the liberty to go ahead and go from Ethiopia to Jerusalem, the part of the great Passover. So there was something uniquely tied to this man. Some people believe that he was actually Jewish, that he actually believed in the Jewish religion, and he submitted his life to that. We don't know, but we do know this, that he did have information about Isaiah. Now, not poor people don't have that type of that information. They don't just walk around like a book that we have and look to the Torah. You know, they have to count on the religious leaders to teach them. And they might write down some things, but here this man has the papers of the Old Testament Isaiah. Not even the Torah, but the Isaiah. And he's sitting there and he has a conflict because he's reading stuff about this and he doesn't really understand. The next thing, the next major principle character in this is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is with Philip. The Holy Spirit empowers Philip, directs Philip, and also gives him discernment. Four major principles in this characters in this story. And so let's go back to the story, and with that knowledge, let's hear it again. Now, there are two conflicts happening. There's a conflict that God has with all of his people who are non-believers, who are non-Christians. The conflict is that there is sin that is dividing this relationship. And what God does, God is in the process of resolving that by removing that sin and redeeming and reconciling people back to him. There's a conflict that he has with the Ethiopian eunuch because, guessly, he's not a Christian. Secondly, the Ethiopian eunuch has a conflict. He is struggling with Isaiah. There's something in that passage. He's sitting back, and it speaks to us. How many times in our life, when we have read Scripture, we sit down and we look at it, and suddenly it speaks to us in a whole different way. In a whole different way. I mean, some of us even know that. We studied this particular passage for maybe the last 20 years, and someone reads it again going, I've never seen that before. Matter of fact, it actually speaks to me right now at this moment. So God works that way in our lives through the Holy Spirit. So here it is. He has a conflict, and so let me share with you from a different type of translation the story. Later, God's angel spoke to Philip. At noon today, I want you to walk over to that desolate road that goes from Jerusalem down to Gaza. He got up and went. He met an Ethiopian eunuch coming down the road. The eunuch had been on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and was returning to Ethiopia, where he was a minister in charge of all the finances of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. He was riding in a chariot reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit told Philip, climb into the chariot. Running up alongside, Philip heard the eunuch reading Isaiah and asked, do you understand what you're reading? All right, so getting the picture here, the Holy Spirit led him out, the angel of God led him out to the end of the city. There, the Holy Spirit said, okay, I want you to go up to this eunuch. Didn't tell him what he's going to do. Just go up. Go up to that person. Go up there. And he did. He ran there. And suddenly, you know, of all the things, this person, this Ethiopian eunuch, started to speak about Scripture. Now, one of the most important parts of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, or even resolving a conflict, is we have to listen. We have to listen. We have to listen to what they're saying. He answered, how can I without some help? Do you understand what you're reading? He answered, how can I without some help? And invited Philip into the chariot with him. The passage he was reading was this. As a sheep led to slaughter, and quiet as a lamb being sheared, he was silent and saying nothing. Have you ever seen a sheep getting sheared? Have you ever been a part of that? You flip them up. And they're just like, they're dead. I mean, they don't say anything. They just stop moving. They just, there's something about it. There's something that's made in their system or that God made it where you pick them up, you flip them back, they just lay there, and they're sheared without any type of noise. Now, have you ever seen an alpaca getting sheared? I have. They actually have to tie up the feet, stretch this guy out, okay, and they start shearing, and all this alpaca does, well, all the time that you're shearing that alpaca, screams, just screams and screams and screams, and then you put the other one there. I mean, the whole day, it just screams, and you're just going crazy with all the noise, but alpacas don't like to be sheared, but a sheep just sits back. So here is a picture of Jesus Christ being in the midst of this great tragedy in his life. He sits back and doesn't say anything. He just allows it to happen. He was mocked and put down, never got a fair trial. But who now can count his kin, since he's been taken from the earth? The eunuch said, "Tell me, who is this prophet Isaiah talking about? Himself or some other?" Philip grabbed his chance. There you go. He grabbed his chance. He was listening. He grabbed it. Remember, important, when you hear something, don't hesitate. God gives you the confidence through the Holy Spirit to sit there. Someone's talking about God. Someone's talking about their life. Someone is just struggling with whatever tragedy that's happening, whatever sickness, whatever it is. You're listening. They want you to hear. They're sharing something to you. This is an opportunity through the Holy Spirit is to respond. And that's what Philip did. Using the passage as his text, he preached Jesus to him. Preach Jesus. Not about a nice sunny day, not about a great philosophy of, you know, this is going to happen, but no, he preached Jesus. The beautiful, beautiful gift that God gives us to bring us back to God. The story, the awesome story that has led us to here this morning. As they continued down the road, he came to a stream of water. The eunuch said, "Here's water. Why can't I be baptized?" Isn't that awesome? He ordered the chariot to stop. They both went down to the water, and Philip baptized him on the spot. You know, I just can imagine, you know, getting down in the water, and Philip just grabs a couple drops and just drops it on his head. I can't imagine that. Yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure that Philip sit there and just dumped in that water and brought him back up, because baptism is a washing. It's a beautiful picture, and to be a part of that experience truly helps us to understand the significance of why you're being baptized. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of God suddenly took Philip off. This is not Star Trek, okay? Okay, God just said, "Philip, you got to go. Move." You know, and you looked around going, "Well, that was quick." And he went down the road as happy as he could be. But he didn't mind. He had what he came for and went down the road as happy as he could be. Philip showed up in Azotus and continued north, preaching the message in all the villages along that route until he arrived at Caesarea. Now, some people basically call Philip the evangelist. You know, I just want you to know that we're all people who are led by the Holy Spirit. So today, we need to know that we have great purpose. First of all, it's hard to imagine anything. It always surprises me that God chose me to be his son. I mean, how it got to the point I became a son is amazing. And he chose me to be his son. Jesus died not just for us, but for you and me. God, his story of redemption and reconciliation. He had us in mind at the beginning of the earth that we are going to be his child. And God, as you look at your life, and there's many times in my life before I became a Christian, I saw God moments when he saved me from doing something that actually could have gotten me killed. He had a special time and a special place for me to be his son. And now I'm a part of his family. And it's time to celebrate. It's time to celebrate this day because God has given us. So, as I said before, that there's a conflict. The conflict with God who continues to resolve that conflict by bringing us into people's lives and allowing us to be led by the Spirit so that we can be ready to act and share Jesus to these people. God uses us to resolve that conflict to bring redemption and reconciliation. Happened to us. So we need to celebrate Pentecost. So how many people wore red today? Yeah, so. So you get a free Diet Coke. Okay, I got it out here, so you get free Diet Cokes. I'm just kidding. But celebrate. I mean, this is the only reason why I wear this red gaudy shirt. First of all, my Magnum P.I., I love Magnum P.I. Yeah, and I tell you, I wear this thing out in public, and I tell you, I am just a spotlight. You know, I've had so many compliments on a shirt in my life. Now, I'm not looking for it, but, well, maybe I am. But it's red, and we wear gaudy Christmas sweaters. It's gaudy in a bad way. Christmas sweaters at Christmas. We're willing to dress up for Christmas. We don't do much for Easter. Well, we do some for Easter. We dress up for Easter. But I want you to go home. If you don't have anything red this morning, Get something red and just wear it all day. Let's let the red shine. Tell everybody, I am excited about Pentecost Sunday. This day is great. We don't see the significance of how great this day is. To celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, we can easily take that for granted. This is huge. There are great events in this world. And we can sit back and we can list those events, amazing events. But the Holy Spirit coming into our lives, a gift from God, so the Holy Spirit can be with us, empowers us, help us to discern, help us to be transformed from being a person who lives led by the flesh and being led by the Spirit. This is powerful. This is crazy over the top. Y'all hear an amen? Amen. Amen. So we need to celebrate. The Holy Spirit leads us to people whom God wants to redeem and reconcile. You need to know that there is a purpose, a grand purpose in our lives. Your purpose definitely is to love your children, to raise them, to love your spouse. Those are all great purposes. And with that, believe it or not, you are to share the good news of Jesus in their lives. We are to live our lives allowing the gospel of Jesus Christ to permeate the way we treat our spouses, our children, our co-workers, the person who is at a holiday, who is across the counter, the waiter, the waitress, the nurse, anybody that we encounter. God has put those people there, and God wants the Holy Spirit to shine in their lives. We have purpose. Everything we do, we have purpose. And it is to shine and glorify God, because what we're doing is we're allowing for the Holy Spirit to help us to listen. And God does bring us to people that have a conflict. They're struggling with their marriage. They're struggling with their children. They're struggling with their work. They're struggling with life. They're struggling with some type of addiction. There's something going on in that life. There is a conflict. And the only way that conflict is able to be resolved is through Jesus Christ. God has given us a purpose. God has given us the Holy Spirit. And we are to shine and share the good news of Jesus Christ. One thing that I read, and I want to close with this. It's a benediction that was given to me 30 years ago. And it's one of the most powerful benedictions. It's a reminder. You know, you hear it almost every Sunday morning. You go nowhere by accident. You go nowhere by accident. We don't live in a world of chance. Okay. We live in a world where God is directing our footprints and opportunities in our life. And don't even think once that those choices you have made have actually been something you have created. God has allowed for those situations to come in our lives so that we can make those choices based on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Wherever you go, God is sending you. God is sending everywhere we go, house, home, play, school, church, God is sending us to the store, golfing. I'm going golfing with Lonnie tomorrow for the first time. Can't wait, but God is sending us out golfing, and we're going to meet people, and we're going to shine, okay? We just do that, and wherever you go, God has put you there. He has a purpose, and you'll be at the end. Your life has purpose. Don't ever let someone say that you do not have purpose. Don't, no star, no philosopher, whatever it is, sit there and say, unless you live this life this way, you have no purpose. No, you have purpose. You have great purpose. Christ indwells you, has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and his love and his power. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Wow, Father, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to celebrate this day, the day that you created the church, the day that you empowered us with the Holy Spirit, the day that we can sit back and say, wow, the Holy Spirit is with me, And I can't do life without it. We're so grateful. Help us to celebrate and help us now to prepare our hearts. Because the only way that we can understand this table, the bread and the wine, the juice, is because of the discernment you have given us through your Holy Spirit. That this table was meant for us. It was a reminder of your great work of redemption and reconciliation in this world. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen.